Blog Talk Radio.
You are fake news.
Oh, that makes me laugh every time. You are fake news. Yep. One thing, that statement rolled off of President Trump's lips. I know they was like, oh, that's going to stick. That one's going to stick. I don't know if he stayed that night talking about that, coming up with a clever catchphrase for the fake news, or did that just roll off the top of his dome? Either way, it's appropriate, funny, and will stick forever on those dudes. Mm-hmm. Once you see the fake news, you can't unsee it, y'all. So, welcome to Kevin's Corner. Somebody said, hey, from L.A., what's happening? Is it hot and sunny out here? I'm jealous. I'm going to find hot sunshine. I don't want nobody to have no sunshine. Because you know what?
Ain't no sunshine when the cat's gone.
So, welcome to the show. We got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, so we're going to go ahead and get busy. But if you are a first-time visitor to my channel to ask questions, you can even call in. There's a phone number behind me. I don't know if it's backwards because I'm seeing it backwards. Who knows? But if you call that number, press 1, and then I will know that you want to talk to me. Other than that, I just assume you're listening to the show. And with that being said, we got to maximize our time together. We don't know. Time might just be running out. And so while we still have freedom of speech, freedom of expression, and, you know, platforms like YouTube is being so gracious to let me get on here and talk slightly about how I really feel, but not all the way how I feel, because, you know, they don't want me to tell y'all everything. So while I got it, I'm going to go ahead and use it. And with that being said, clips from a spider monkey, okay, compared to a silverback, and that's no comparison. That's actually very fitting when it comes down to comparing the last president we had to the current one that we have. I mean, Trump was assertive, he was aggressive, he wasn't over-dominating and overpowering people, but he wouldn't let you push him over. You knew he meant business, nice balance. They painted him out to be a monster, but he wasn't. All the stuff that we're experiencing right now, we would have never experienced it under Trump. If people are actually honest with themselves, all of those people that went in and bought this lemon that we're about to go ahead and talk about, they would have to admit, I bought a lemon, but they ain't going to do it. See, it's like, you know, you're young or something, you run across a car, walk up on that lot, and they're like, hey, little lady, hey, little guy. What you doing there, buddy? Hey, listen, you looking for a car? I got just what you need. And you see that car, and they got something fancy to catch your attention, like some rims. You know, that's young. You pay attention to the superficial stuff. Man, that mug got the fattest feet on them ever. And you go back and tell your dad or somebody, I'm about to buy this car. Hey, man, don't buy that car. It's a lemon. Okay, go ahead. And you buy that lemon, and before you backfire. That's right. That going down the road, you ain't even got no hydraulics on it, but it's doing this. You like, man, did the car have hydraulics on it? No. That's just some bad shocks. And you get to that crib, and your old man says, how you like the car? And you don't even want to say. It's a fixer-upper, but for the most part, I'm happy. I'm happy with my purchase. No, you ain't. You know, you just don't want to tell me because you know what's going to happen. I told you so. So for all of those folks that bought this lemon, here's what you got for your money, okay? Joe Biden is giving a speech. Oh, boy, I tell you. We're at a black college. Boy. You know, guys, what kills me? This is the one that cuts me, man. It's the dagger in Kev's heart. Whenever they show up at an all-black person event, you know it's time, y'all. For some pandering, it's pandering time. Stop. Pander time. Joe Biden. Now, so Joe Biden comes out, and he's trying to get all of this garbage passed, and then he's pushing this narrative to help, I guess, inspire black folks to support this dude. So he goes there to pander, and he flubs it all up. Listen to this.
Last week, President Harris and I,
President Harris and I,
the same way I might add in the
20s. Oh, man, but I tell you what, though. I tell you what. If nothing else comes out of this dude's presidency except for tyranny, communism, socialism, the destruction of our military, the erosion of our border, I mean, only thing we are getting out of this is nonstop comedy. Now, I don't know about you, but comedy is pretty important in my life, y'all. Yeah, man. And he gives me a healthy dose of that mess every single day. So did you hear the first flub up? All right, let's catch
up. Last week, President Harris and I.
President Harris and I. How many times he going to jack that one up? I want to know how many times he's going to jack that one up. I'm surprised that there isn't somebody standing behind that camera with two people with some billboards up with the correct one, me and President, Vice President Harris. But no, he can't even follow that. He's probably seen that backwards. So here he goes saying, President Harris and I, which is, I mean, at one point I would have thought that's what it really was and what he was planning. But now I kind of see how they pull him back from her and how horrible she is. They don't even want to take the chance of sticking her out there either. But yet, maybe that was the initial plan. And he just can't, he can't shake it. He can't shake it. So here it is, President Harris and I.
President Harris and I.
The same way I might add in the 2020 election, President Trump voted from behind the desk in the White House in Florida.
Y'all hear that? Did y'all know the White House now has been moved to Florida? I bet you all didn't know that because I didn't either until Joe just told me. So President Trump voted in the White House behind his desk in Florida. Yeah, this is the president. This is the dude, y'all, that wants us to trust him with our whole lives. Yeah, this is the guy. Now, let me just ask you this. You got Funky Fauci running around pushing all of this mess. You got the CDC that's been compromised. You got all this stuff going on. Now, do you think if they were to go in and brief this dude on anything, that he would be able to make a sound decision? Do you think he's competent enough to even question them? I mean, this guy is pretty much a wind-up, though. Click, 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 and he comes out there just like this. You know he's not asking NECA, all right, Fauci, you said the lockdowns need to go on, and he is tell me a little bit more about. No. They're just saying, Joe, go sit down, and we'll handle everything. Hey, don't look that way. We got you in the White House. That was your dream, right, Joe? I mean, you know how much it took us to get you in that seat? Now go sit down. We got you in the seat. Now sit. That's what's going on. But yet, he's pretending like he's the guy that's making those tough decisions. Huh? So let's hear some more of his eloquent speech.
Our generation that just started voting, as there are those who are trying to take away that vote you just started to be able to exercise.
Y'all hear that, man? There are those out there trying to take away that vote. Is that even a word? I don't know. I'm like, you know what, man? I got to Google that vote. Okay, let me see if I can find out what vote means. Anybody ever heard vote? Okay, I think maybe he's trying to say vote, but it came out as vote. Let me see some vote. Vote. Okay, what is a vote? Oh, crap. Okay, Next Generation Frontier Tooling. Well, it's the name of a company. Yeah. So wait. It means quickly. Weit. Maybe it's German. Weit. So I guess he meant to say vote, but you know that Joe brain. Oh, man. That Joe brain was like, look, man, don't look to me for answers. We told you to go sit down. But no, you wanted to be president. So now let's hear it again. Here we go. Weit.
There's a big lie about the 2020 election to fuel your generation. Here we go. It just started voting, as there are those We're trying to take away that vote you just started to be able to exercise.
Now, understand, guys, he's not explaining how. I mean, this is the absurdity of what's going on in our country. When a president can come out and just start throwing out all kind of inflammatory statements and accusations, and it all revolves around a topic that could completely unravel the harmony in our country. When you are using racism, segregation, Jim Crow, to try to get your agenda passed, and yet you don't even stop to mention, well, now I forgot to mention it was our party who started all of that stuff. Oh, that Jim Crow on steroids that I mention all the time, it was us. When you fail to even mention that, and then you are in 2022, got the nerve to be in front of a whole bunch of black people trying to pretend that segregation is back, y'all, and effect. That type of statement makes me get so mad. Oh, they're going to make me do it.
I got so much trouble on my mind. Refuse to lose. Here's a ticket. Here's a drummer getting wicked.
They're going to make me go Chuck D. So here we go. Standing in front of black people, turn on the panderation.
Here's the big lie about the 2020 election to fuel torment and anti-voting laws.
Get him off the stage. Somebody go get me a huge cane. And it can't be like no candy cane. You know what? As cool as my American cane is, it ain't got a hook on it. And even if it did, the hook wouldn't be big enough to grab this dude off the stage. I wouldn't waste the time to go wherever he is. I need a novelty cane that I can sit right here in my corner, stick it out there, and yank that fool off the stage. Talking about some, what's that word he just made up? It's a new vocabulary. He's speaking Jobadin. Let me see if I can get it.
Use the big lie about the 2020 election to fuel torment. And anti-voting laws.
They don't understand something's going on in his brain. I mean, people don't know. When you start just completely transposing words into other words, or you seem to have to double up on trying to enunciate or pronounce a word, something's going on with the brain. And I just don't understand how all these young people are sitting behind him pretending that nothing's wrong. If they were to see me in that audience, they would see my mouth open like the whole time. They would be like, what's wrong with that guy in the back? First of all, he's the only one without a mask on, because everybody else, you know, if you're going to sit in the back and you're going to be a part of the panda wagon, you know, they got to do their stuff. All right, now, if you're going to be back here, we need the mask on until we get finished filming. Then you can take that mess off. Okay, everybody masked up, because we're pushing this agenda too. Good, good, good. Except for me. I will be back there, no mask on, with my mouth wide open, like, looking around. Like, am I being punked? Did y'all hear this man just call his vite instead of vote? Am I the only one hearing this mess? But hey, here we go.
We visited the sacred Ebenezer Bastard Church and paused to pray.
Y'all hear that? Did y'all go to Ebenezer Bastard Church? Y'all ain't know that was a real church? He sounded like he almost said bastard. Huh, let me see something here. If you're going to pander, get your pandering straight. You don't be up there hacking up words, especially when it comes down to the church. Talking about some, we went and pandered at Ebenezer Bastard Church.
We visited the sacred Ebenezer Bastard Church and paused to pray.
He know he ain't did no praying. Or, and if he did, it was, all right, help me, first of all, being corrupt. And Satan. I mean, who am I praying to? Diablos. Now, I won't call him Satan right now. Most folks don't know Diablos means Satan. So, Prince of Darkness, and I'm praying that me and Hunter get that $1.5 billion. That's probably what he's praying for. These Democrats always bring up Christianity. You know why? The only context is when they're in pander mode. See, other than that, don't be slinging no Christian values out there at them. Don't be quoting no scriptures at these dudes. Y'all remember Nancy Pelosi when she came out and they accused her of hating the president? And she was about to walk away and said, wait a minute, wait. First of all, I don't hate anyone. I love everyone because I'm a Catholic, okay? I pray for the president every day. Now, if you believe that, well, here's her prayer. Satan, please smite him, kill him unto death. He's ruining all of our diabolical schemes. That's what she was praying for. You know she wasn't praying for him and his family. She was praying for him to get impeached, praying for him to have a slight heart attack, anything but ruining the agenda of the Democrats. But you know what they do when it's time to pander to Christians. That's right. They come right on out there and flub it up. Ebenezer Bastard Church.
And if that bare minimum is blocked, we have no option but to change the Senate rules, including getting rid of the filibuster for this.
See?
Last year.
Here we go. Here we go. This is the guy that was like, no, I wouldn't get rid of the filibuster. No. No. I mean, I'm against it. Totally. Now, all of a sudden, we ain't got no choice. Now, do black people realize that they are using us to push this agenda? They're using us to change the forefathers' intent and foundation of our government right there in regards to the filibuster. And the only way they can make it sound somewhat reasonable or necessary is to lie and say, we need this to happen because it's for you black folks and other minorities, but mostly black folks. See, we know that these white nationalists, you know, Republicans and all of them, they don't want y'all to vote. Excuse me. See, I will be the black dude in that whole crowd that'll mess it all up. Oh, yeah, the guy in the back. What? I'm not supposed to take questions. Okay, just one then, okay? Yeah, the guy in the back. Excuse me, sir. I'm black. I grew up around a whole bunch of black people, and I've never heard any one of them say that they couldn't get IDs to go vote. Where are you getting this from? Watch his brain explode. See, that's why they don't bring black conservatives on MSNBC, CNN, and all of that stuff. Because, see, if you're a real conservative, if you're a brother who grew up around black folks, you know the culture. You know what are real problems in the black community and what isn't. And getting an ID to vote has never come up. Not once. Not once. Just like this fool had the nerve to say, we didn't know how to get on the internet, sister. Before I even had a smartphone, I'm sitting here with the old school flip phone, Captain Kirk style. When I was teaching in the beginning, I'm like, Captain's Log, Stargate 44, rounded off to the nearest decimal point. We have. And the kids are sitting in there like, yeah, man, Mr. Kevin, you ain't hip to this? Yeah, right now I'm on Google. And I'm going, what's a Google? What's the? Wait a minute. I thought you all were low income. How did you get that phone? Are you late? Those dudes and dudettes know how to get on the internet. They might not know mathematics. They might not know English. But they sure enough do know how to use the internet. And yet this dude had the nerve to use that as an excuse. And black folks tolerate that. And it drives me absolutely nuts, honest with you. Because right now as he's pandering, I'm saying, so you're using a real sore spot in our history caused by your party to push an agenda for your greed. Oh, boy, man. I need a mic. I need a bigger platform. I need a microphone, a bullhorn, so I could just call this knucklehead out.
I'm mistaken. The filibuster was used 154 times.
Y'all hear that? Those Republicans, those white nationalist Republicans, used that filibuster 100-something times last year. Oh, what was this? What did he fail to mention? But the Democrats set the filibuster record the year before. They set the record. And see, they set all kind of records, y'all. They got the hypocrisy record. They got the raggedy politician record. They got the can't get nothing done record. They got the record with the most clowns in their circus. Man, they would come up in that little clown car, and it would be an ever-ending flow of clowns coming out that car. You would be sitting there saying, oh, wait a minute. Okay, 17 just came out. The car's that big now. It got to be a hole underneath this. It's not. They got so many clowns in their party. They can set records across the board on being the raggediest politicians on the planet possibly. I'm going to go ahead and say it. In the world. But yet, this guy doesn't mention that. This is the omission of information that pretty much condemns his party. And so let me see, 150 sometimes compared to the record, 328 times. And that was 1 year prior to the Republicans doing it. This ain't like, oh, yeah, it was 1970. This was like a couple years back. And here he goes making black people think it's that filibuster that's holding you down because you're brown.
Well, there were two things about Joe Biden's speech yesterday. One was the rhetoric, which was absolutely over the top, comparing the bills that are being pushed by Republicans around the country as racist, the equivalent of the civil rights movement. He compared them to the bombing of the Birmingham church and the Bloody Sunday, and suggested, as you just played, that anyone who opposes his political views, including members of his own party, by the way, are the equivalent of, racists like George Wallace or Bull Connor or Jefferson Davis. So it was really a divisive speech in that regard. And
it was a stupid speech. Did y'all hear this man who is on Fox? He was just kind of recapping because, I wanted to get some opinions about his speech there while he was pandering. So he makes these drastic comparisons. And it's almost as if when they are doing this, they assume that there's no black conservatives, no black voters that voted for Trump, that there was no Latinos. It was all straight white nationalists. And therefore, our policies that we support and believe in really should be compared to the civil rights movement. Now, do you think that I would support a policy like that? Do you think that all of these black Trump supporters, you know how belittling it is to our intelligence for them to use this type of stuff? What that is, it's an indictment upon our judgment. So you're telling me, as an intelligent black man, which I have to get on a lot of black people when they're swearing down, you voted for Trump, man, you brainwashed and all of that. I'm going, no. See, you're misunderstanding what happened. Black conservatives are actually highly intelligent. They're reasonable. They use common sense. They're able to see through all this crap. And therefore, we're voting on these policies and we see what their manipulation is about. And so when I sit back and I hear them say this, I'm offended at the fact that you're basically saying all of us minorities that support Republican Party or their policies or Trump, we are all too dumb to see that we are part of a party that's trying to take us back to Jim Crow. We can't see that. We have no common sense. We ain't got no ability to discern people's agendas. That's the problem. We have that discernment to see through their agenda. That's the problem. And so, therefore, they use these type of things to get to those black folks that attack us conservatives and say, man, y'all just blinded, man, y'all following Trump blinded. I'm going, boy, the irony in this is crazy. And especially when people that you know personally start questioning you, and I'm talking about just right now as black conservatives, family members, folks that know I'm down with the struggle if there really was a struggle. If it was a real issue, I would be the first one saying, let's go, man. But for them to say and think that, oh, man, y'all done got caught up in something crazy, man, I'm going, do I strike you as a person who would make an impulsive, irrational decision? Do I strike you as one that don't have enough wisdom and knowledge to say, wait a minute, this guy seems like he's a part of the KKK? These folks, it is so damning to our whole country, and it does just what we are looking at, makes blacks and whites be suspicious of each other. Mostly blacks at this point and Latinos. This is horrible rhetoric. Somebody needs to drag this dude off that stage.
So, and then there's the question of what was the strategy behind this?
Yeah.
What did he aim to accomplish by this? Because he knows, as we all know, right, he does not have the votes in the Senate. So he is driving around in a cul-de-sac, on a dead-end street with nowhere to go. And obviously the strategy in the short term is to rile up his base, is to get his base excited,
yeah,
because we're now inside an election year. Uh-oh. But the question is, will what he said yesterday, is that going to move anybody, number one? And number two, is it going to motivate anyone outside of his base? And could it, in fact, inflict some sort of backlash from moderates and independents who didn't like the way that he framed this debate over voting, what Democrats call voting rights, but what Republicans call election integrity?
Thank you. See, first of all,
round and round the mulberry bush. What you think? What pop goes weasel?
So, as Joe Biden knows that nobody supports his policies and they don't have the votes, so what are we going to do? We're going to try to use some type of inflammatory language and rhetoric to make everybody think when it is time to vote that you're voting against all of these white nationalists and these racists and stuff like that. And get them riled up based on false narratives of J6 and Jim Crow on steroids and stuff like that. Now, before I move on, I want to address a question that I just read. Somebody said, what is that new plaque you have on the wall? Well, I'm glad you asked. That plaque right there on the wall, my best friend, he coaches for my old high school team, and that plaque has been in the Hall of Fame little mural outside in the front of the school for all these years. And my boy was like, look, man, if y'all going to clean it out and move that stuff, can I take this to my boy? And he brought it to me. And guess what it says, y'all? Oh, yeah. It says, in recognition of an outstanding achievement. I ain't going to tell you what year it was. Kevin, you know who? Rush for. You ready for this? Y'all ready for this? Rush for 379 yards, 5 touchdowns, with 22 carries. Oh, yeah, man. I was getting it, and I was sick the whole game. Oh, man. Yeah, I had the juice. I had the juice back then. And in my mind, I still do. In my mind, I still think I can get out there. But in reality, I probably popped every muscle in my whole entire body. Stuff that I'm like, how did I just sprain a cheek muscle from running? But nonetheless, let's go ahead and get through this because Maria Bartiromeo, she has one of my favorite people coming up to comment about Joe Biden's speech. Dagan
McDowell, jump in here. His ratings are in the basement. Maybe he thinks if he creates all of this theater that he'll get a better response from voters because he continues to plummet to new lows in the polls. The written part of the speech was horrible. And then when he's riffing and just making things up, and Tom can weigh in on this, but to bring up, say, you're either Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. or George Wallace. George Wallace is a Democrat that Joe Biden once bragged about, you know, George Wallace, how George Wallace liked him so much. And then he repeats this battle, see, the battle for the soul of a nation or fighting for the soul of a nation. This is a line that he started using in at least 2019. So to your point, what's the goal here? This doesn't resonate with moderates, with independents, the very people who have turned away from him. But then he also made up, he talked about the time of being arrested during a civil rights march.
So this man lied? So let me understand this, y'all. First of all, he omits the information about George Wallace and all of them. It's almost like they just expect all of these people to not know anything about history. They don't be talking about no Robert Byrd. They don't be talking about Margaret Sanger. They don't be talking about who actually had Jim Crow laws and segregation and Willie Lynch and the Ku Klux Klan. They never talk about that. And when they do, it's in the context of trying to make it seem like they were all Republicans or just regular white people, every single white person back then was in it. They were all guilty of racist stuff. Secondly, he brings up folks that he once supported. I mean, he was sitting there eulogizing Robert Byrd. He was a mentor. He was a friend. And nobody's running these clips. I'm telling you, man, the Republicans, they need somebody that is coaching them up that's just as grimy as the Democrats. Do you understand if they would have had a clip of Trump eulogizing Robert Byrd, that would run on every channel 24 hours a day. They would not even have to campaign anymore. They just be like, we got that footage. Put it on a loop. We're done. They would throw their feet up and let the fake news run that into the ground. And every single time Trump gets up there, they'd be like, before we ask any questions, could you address the whole eulogization of Robert Burt? Do you still love that Klan member? Still a racist? But yet Joe Biden and his whole crew, crooked, all of them love Robert Burt. They all praise Margaret Sanger. And here this fool getting up here talking about all of that crap. And Dagan had to call it out. Thank you, Dagan. That's why I love her.
Just like he talked about that he was arrested in South Africa once trying to see Nelson Mandela. He, you know, defended the Black Panthers in court and participated in a sit-in.
Freedom is coming tomorrow. Magic mama. So this dude right about now went Serafina on him. Uh-huh. Mandela, brother, mother, sister. So this dude is over here talking about, yeah, man, you ain't know that? I mean, I tried to, you know, rescue Mandela, but it was crazy, man. They locked me up for a couple days. I mean, a couple minutes. Okay, wait. I didn't actually get locked up, but I was on my way to see him. And we got, it was a roadblock, and we never made it. Now, but you know what was the difference? Lies constantly, but yet no fact checking. Yet no always bringing the, well, first of all, you can't even ask him about it because he never does interviews. Never. And if he does do them, you already know what's coming. Okay, let's see here. I got a list of people who won't ask me tough questions. All right. And I wouldn't be shocked if he actually said something like that. Because that brain is blew out. All four tires at once. So here he is up there. People, I might get in trouble because they told me my brain's messed up and I might say something that I shouldn't say as I'm saying it right now. I shouldn't be saying this, okay? But I'm going to say it anyway. My brain's hurting. So now this guy gets up here and he throws all this out and all these lies, but nobody questions.
These are all just fables that he spouts.
No,
and
baby.
Where was Stacey? Where was Stacey Abrams and the Black civil rights leaders? They didn't even show up because they knew it'd be a disaster. Quickly.
And it was a disaster. See, all of these Democrats are fleeing away from this dude because he's cancer. He's like a leper. Uh-huh. Shame. Uh-huh. Unclean. They need to stick him outside the wall of Jerusalem and let him go ahead and walk around wrapped up in something. And Chris, I'm unclean. Don't get close. He's like a leper. That's why Stacey, with that big gap in her teeth, won't even come close to him. That's why all of these Democrats are stepping down. They're like, dude, did you hear the word? We don't get blasted in 2022. Man, I don't want to be a part of that. I'm about to get out while I can, man. This is crazy. So we got Joe down there, and the brothers never came out to support him in his own party. Well, let's move on because, see, what we need to find out is what is with all of this hubbub, y'all, about the filibuster and the voting act and all of that stuff. Let's see if we can get to the bottom of this, okay? There are a couple good Republicans that were, you know, giving a little address to Congress. And maybe they might have captured some of the motive behind it. So let's check that out.
The floor today to join my distinguished colleague from Arkansas, as I agree with everything that he has said about this latest power grab by the Democrats in the United States Senate.
Huh.
Their effort to change the rules,
oh.
To rig the rules, to force through an agenda which I see, as do so many Americans, as radically and extreme and dangerous and scary.
I think we might have uncovered it right there. But see, we're going to expound upon that too. So you're telling me, Mr. John Barrasso, it's all about power? No way. I thought it was about serving the public. I thought it was about what benefits us as citizens of the United States and serving the people. But now you're telling me they're serving themselves, kind of like how Nancy Pelosi has been batting like 1,000 when it comes down to the stock market. Did y'all hear that? That 80-something-year-old brain is still sharp enough to be clairvoyant when it comes down to that stock market, y'all. If she was really about the people, why didn't she give us those tips? I mean, why didn't she tell all those homeless people, you might want to play the stock and put your money in this as you're collecting change while you're pooping on our sidewalks? Yeah, Maybe she should have told us all what to drop our chips in so we can make $80 million when everybody else was scrambling, figuring out what to invest in. Nancy Pelosi had it inside. Interesting. But let's see what else it's about.
And what the Democrats are proposing right here is that they muzzle the voice of half of the country.
Oh.
So why are they doing this?
Yeah, why are they?
Well, it really has nothing to do with the priorities that are the priorities of the folks from my home state of Wyoming or the previous speaker's home state of Arkansas or the next speaker from West Virginia. Oh, no, it has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with the priorities that the Gallup poll tells us or polls all are the concerns all around America.
Wait a minute, y'all. I mean, I thought this was the number one issue for all of us, y'all. I mean, I'm sure the average brother working a 9-to-5, average white guy, average sister or whoever, wakes up thinking about the filibuster. I'm pretty sure. If you ask them, what is a filibuster? They'd be like, that's something I put in my furnace. It's a filibuster. It keeps the dust from coming around. Most folks don't even know what a filibuster is. But they're doing it for us, y'all. They're doing it for us because we've been complaining about this filibuster. Y'all didn't know that? So they're fulfilling the will of their voters by whining about a filibuster. Okay, what else?
Coronavirus and the crisis we face there. The crisis at the southern border. We're all looking at almost 2 million illegal immigrants coming into the United States. Crime in the cities with murders up year after year, just amazingly up this year.
In their cities. See, I think he left that out, so I'll go ahead and ad-lib. In their cities.
And then, of course, the raging fires of inflation into people's paychecks so that the money doesn't go as far.
Wow.
When families in home states are looking at the fact that they're going to be paying about $3,500 more next year than last and the year before that, just to keep up, to maintain the quality of living, they got a lot of concerns. And what the Democrats are trying to do isn't even one of them.
Oh, man. Well, thank you. And I think that is true. Because, see, throughout this whole debacle, I haven't heard them bring up one policy that will benefit us. Not one. Every single policy, everything they propose, it all benefits them. If you want the definition of selfish, greedy, power hungry, then all you got to do is just look at the Democrat Party and ask yourself, which one of their policies actually address us? Everything that they propose benefits them. That's the whole MO. Now, if you happen to get some residual blessings from it, cool. But that's not what they set out to do. No, they set out to make sure they acquire, obtain, and retain power. That man was on point. But so is this guy coming up. Listen to this guy.
Mr. President, my friend Senator Schumer and some of my Democratic friends would like to change one of the enduring institutions of this institution. They want to get rid of the filibuster, and I call it the 60-vote threshold. And a reasonable person might ask, well, why not?
Yeah.
Institutions change all the time. Change is the law of life.
Yeah,
I'll tell you why not, Mr. President. I want you to hear these words of wisdom. We're on the precipice of a crisis.
What?
Constitutional crisis.
Constitutional crisis.
Getting rid of the filibuster. The check.
Now, wait a minute. Any guesses? Any guesses on who's dropping these bars like that? Was it Martin Luther the King, perhaps? JFK? Oh, wait a minute. Abraham Lincoln? Somebody like that? I'm pretty sure. Somebody with all kind of integrity and knowledge and wisdom that John Kennedy right here is reading. So let's see. Here we go.
Some balances which have been at the core of this republic are about to be evaporated by the nuclear option. Getting rid of the filibuster. The checks and balances which say if you get 51% of the vote, you do not get your way 100% of the
time.
If you get 51% of the vote, you do not get your way 100% of the time.
Preach.
In the United States Senate. That is what we call abuse of power.
Yeah.
There is, unfortunately, a whiff of extremism in the air.
Okay.
Those are words of wisdom.
From
by
who?
Senator Chuck Schumer.
Who?
May 18th, 2005.
What? I would have never thought that came out of a Democrat that is now trying to get rid of the filibuster. Their hypocrisy has no bounds. All of that knowledge he dropped back then. And all of a sudden, now it's different. Now we're in power. And since we can't have our way, I think we now got to get rid of it. All he did, Kennedy read the exact words from these hypocrites. Chuck Schumer, head of the Senate, wrote that. I wonder how he explains the difference now versus then. Interesting. Let's see. Here we go. Oh, another nice speech that addresses this. Here we go.
Dissent within any legislative body is inconvenient. It's inefficient. Those who express differing viewpoints are a nuisance. And yet, we've seen that our own system of government has gone to great lengths to make sure that no one person and no one group of people can accumulate too much power.
Yeah. See, so what he's describing right now, guys, is our democracy, like they always whined about, our norms. He's describing our republic. That's what he's describing. So something like this won't happen. That's why they set it up. But now all of a sudden that the Democrats are in power, as they cried for 6 years, well, five plus, Trump, he's trying to be a dictator. He's trying to be a tyrant. He's trying to abolish all of our norms. He's undermining our democracy. Their projection is so large. You can throw it up on a movie screen and see it. It's crazy how much they project. But let's hear more about these norms and stuff that our forefathers set up that now has become an inconvenience to the Democrat Party. Interesting. Here we go.
Because we've seen the dangerous effects of that. We've understood that there are greater values than efficiency and lack of annoyance that people experience when there is disagreement and dissent. For that very reason, our founding fathers set up a system of government that splits up power along two axes, vertical and horizontal.
Right. So
along the vertical axis, we have federalism. It says that most of the power is actually supposed to be left with the states and their political subdivisions.
Okay. So y'all following this man? He's giving us a little breakdown, a little lesson right now. All right, so let me get this straight if I'm understanding for all the people out there who's ignorant and going to vote for these Democrats or support this crap. So you got the federal government, you know, they vertical, and what they're supposed to be doing is just saying, look, man, I'm going to leave a lot of this stuff up to each individual state because we don't want to federalize everything because then we'd be Cuba. Then we would be, you know, China. We'd be North Korea, all of that. So we won't be that. So they set this up that way for a reason. But it's funny now how all the Democrats are trying to put all the power in the federal government. But let's continue because, remember, they're protecting our democracy.
Specific enumerated powers are given to the federal government. And then it also separates power along a horizontal axis.
Okay, like
within the federal government, we've got a branch that makes laws, a branch that enforces them, and a branch that interprets them.
Okay, now you're talking, brother. You're talking my language, man. Yeah, man, I might not pay too much attention in high school. Thanks for, you know, getting me caught up. So let me understand this. You got all these branches, and they're all supposed to be doing something, right? Did y'all know, though, that the legislative branch is now the investigative branch? Did y'all know that? Did y'all know somehow all of these, the Senate and the House of Representatives have now become like the executive branch too? Yeah, they're out there, man, searching down folks and catching them and holding hearings and all of that, subpoenaing folks for no reason, no reason. So why do we need the FBI again? Why do we need the DOJ again? If all the power to do all of this crap is simply coming out of the legislative branch. So instead of making laws and stuff, they're out there doing investigations. Okay, here we go.
But within the legislative branch, our branch, it's split up even further, House and the Senate. And then the Constitution goes on to say that each of those houses will have the ability to make their own rules. The Senate rules echo what's found in the Constitution. They echo it by making sure that no one group of people and no one person can accumulate too much power, even when they have a simple majority behind them.
Right. Just like they whined about Trump and when all of the Republicans had the majority. You heard that coming out of their mouth constantly. Yeah, you know what? Abuse of power. So now all of a sudden that they're in power, just like that nuclear option. It was great when they was using it. Then when we used it, oh, my God, look at that. This way, you know what? We need to abolish that because it hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
All of that crap, just like the electoral votes. Ah, we won? Great. Excellent. Hey, our forefathers put that together. We have to honor. We have to honor. And then when we win, all of a sudden, now, you know, I don't even know why we're still doing that anyway. These nasty, dirty worms, scumbags, snails, ugly toad, as I'm trying to edit some of the thoughts that's going through my brain. So we all know how hypocritical they are, how power hungry they are, and how fake they are. And so now what they're trying to do is roll back all of those constitutional norms that they complain Trump was trying to destroy. Interesting.
That's because so highly do we value dissent and the benefits that it brings to society that we want to protect it. So
that's the problem. Democrats don't value dissent. They don't value that because, see, nothing about their whole party promotes dissent, discussion, compromise, debate, none of that. They rule with an iron fist, a scepter. That's what they rule with, and that is why they don't like debating. See, they're going to come in and say, you know what, I ain't going to sit here and try to have dissent with you. I'm just going to call you a racist. I'm not going to come in here and try to win you over with my policies. I'm going to say your whole motive for opposing a complete broken border is not because it's a broken border and we're a sovereign nation. No. That's not it. It's because you're a misogynist and you want to keep America white, I guess, because, I mean, we're a little late for that. I would think Trump was doing that because that's what they said he was doing. If Trump's goal was to keep America white, why even worry about the border? I mean, he could have came in and start cleaning the house with the already black and Latino folks is here. So these idiots are the people who's destroying all of that. And they're doing it because a lot of their voters have no idea the ramifications from this. They're sitting there like, they're doing it for us, right? Trying to stop racism or something like that.
These Senate rules, while not directed by the Constitution themselves, were promulgated pursuant to constitutional authority, and they reflect the very same values. Right. What the Democrats are trying to do right now is to undermine each of these things. They're undermining this principle of federalism, as I described it a minute ago, uh-huh. by taking powers that don't belong in the federal government, that do belong in the states, and thereby depriving the people of each state the ability to make their own laws as they deem fit.
There you go. See, nothing about them. No dissent. You know what? You believe what we believe or you're getting canceled. You vote how we tell you to vote or we're going to riot and loot in your cities. We're going to show up at your jobs. We're going to call you out. We're going to use all of the power and all of the relationships that we got with the fake news, social media. We're going to muscle or bully you in or just straight up destroy all of your way of living, your resources, anything we got to do besides debate. That's how we rule. Now, we rule with iron fists. Now, y'all shouldn't have messed up and let us get in power, see? Because now that we're in power, we're going to show you what a real dictator looks like. We're going to show you what a real tyrant looks like. You think we're concerned about the appearance of looking like we're trying to save our democracy and all of that stuff? We don't care about that. We have no shame as Democrats, no embarrassment. We don't worry about no hypocrisy, man. Everybody know we all about the hippo, okay? So, shoot, our people got short-term memories, man. Yeah, they don't remember what we said last week, and that's why they can't even hold us accountable for being a hippo crit. Let's continue.
They're also trying to suppress the Senate rules, to undo them, because they're inconvenient, because dissent is difficult, and disagreement can be a nuisance. Mm-hmm. This is exactly why we need to stop them from doing this.
Yes.
Look, it's been noted a few times here that a number of us, most of us, stood up aggressively amid calls within our own party a few years ago to say no to nuking the filibuster, because it's not right. It's not something that's going to lead to a good outcome. Something that's going to lead again and again and again to a whiplash, a back and forth, further uncertainties in the status of the law if we were to undo the filibuster.
And yes. Because, see, that will undo, really, our whole Constitution. That will allow these Democrats to run all over us. And guess what? Whenever there's a discrepancy in the voting process, it no longer goes to the state. No. That mess gets kicked right up to Nasty Nancy and her crew. Now, can you imagine that? Can you imagine putting that type of power in the hands of the Democrats? I'm so mad at these raggedy rhinos who sat back and let this happen. Let it happen, man. I mean, you are so horrible when you already have secured your future, your family, you're wealthy, you're sitting back, I'm old, I've been in the Senate for like 80,000 years. I'm on my way out in a couple of years. I'm just going to leave a couple million behind for the fam. And I probably got an agreement with all of these raggedy Democrats who's going to bring in socialism or something like that to just lay off my family. Let us be a part of the elites. Because what else are you getting out of letting these people do this when it was so clear to us that they were on a power grab? They were willing to do whatever they had to do to get back in power. And you're telling me that our funky rhinos didn't stop to see this coming and say, man, I mean, do you see how corrupt these folks are? Do you see the writing on the wall with these elections and these voter issues starting to just surface? Let them pull off that J6 crap and got the nerve to come out and pretend to be mad at Trump. So easily distracted, are you? So you go in like, that's right, man. We're here to contest this mess. We're down with you, Trump. Yeah, what? There was an insurrection. Trump, you caused this. You caused it, Trump. For that, you know what? Let's get this over with. Now, let's put him in office. So you put a senile man in office, a compromised man in office who got ties with China, got ties with Ukraine, all of that. You know the dude's laptop had all that evidence on it. You didn't push for that. You just sat back and let these folks ride in. Ride in. And now everybody's vulnerable to them. Vulnerable to them. We are now at the mercy of these idiots who we all know are complete power-hungry tyrants that if you give them this power, they're not going to care about one of our desires, wishes, or whatever. If people want to look what real tyranny looks like, just look at what they're doing. And guess what? I found a speech that sums it all up beautifully, y'all. Now, I'm not a huge Mark or Rubio, you know, fan. I mean, hit and miss. He said some good things, said some bad things. But this right here summed everything up, y'all. Listen to how he broke down exactly what they're trying to do and what's going to happen. Here we go, y'all.
Now, last week, the Vice President of the United States told us that a riot that happened here in the U.S. Capitol last year was the equivalent of the day in which Japan attacked us at Pearl Harbor and the U.S. was pulled into a world war that took the lives of over 3% of the world's population.
Now, did y'all hear that? See, if you ever want to know what pandering looks like, if you ever want to know what exaggeration looks like, inflammatory language and all of that mess, he painted that beautifully. 3% of the population on the globe was killed because of World War II. And you get Kamala to Million Harris getting up there and compared what took place on J6 to that. Now, do you understand the level of dumbness for you to nod and applaud that? I mean, sitting in that room as she's giving that speech, and yeah, that's right. Yeah, darn right, man. Wait, man, how many people died on J6? What, a one? Well, I'm sure some others, right? But five police officers, yeah, those five police officers, they got killed too. What, they didn't die on that same day? They didn't die from the rioters? They just died from, oh. Well, yeah, that does seem a little bit drastic of a comparison. But she did it anyway.
Yesterday we were treated to the president telling us that election laws that are being passed by various states across the country over the last year are basically the same equivalent of the segregation that existed in this country in the 1950s and 60s
see,
and before.
See, all you got to do to destroy that whole narrative is go rent you some, and you can look on YouTube right now. Keep your eyes on the prize, move on. All you got to do is just go and watch an Eyes on the Prize clip and then come right back and say, excuse me, Mr. Creepy Sleepy, who just talked about these segregation laws and Jim Crow on steroids. Yes, it is Marco Rubio. I just watched Eyes on the Prize. I watched Emmett Till get killed. I watched those white dudes sitting in there confident that they would be acquitted. Got out smiling. That's right, man. America is the greatest country on the planet. I watched all these black kids trying to go to school for the first time and had to bring in the feds and state patrol to keep them from being attacked. I watch water hoses spray people. I watch dogs bite people. I watch white people hang black folks and with poles with their bodies out there like they caught some type of wild game. Whole bunch of them like, and yet this fool gets on TV and compares these voter laws, these common sense voter laws to Jim Crow and segregation in the South. Man, look, that one almost, it took my breath away, huh? That this man would even say that. But let's continue.
If your day is to wake up in the morning and turn on MSNBC as you ride your Peloton, and then you go on Twitter as you're drinking your caramel macchiato, and then you're reading the New York Times as you're eating your avocado toast, I imagine all this makes perfect sense to you. After all, for these people, they believe this ridiculous narrative that every Republican,
every one of them,
is an insurrectionist, probably a racist, wants to overthrow the U.S. government, and wants to destroy democracy.
Man, see, man, I thought I was just a black conservative who just wanted to vote and have a good life and be able to pursue the American dream. That's all I thought I was. And now I found out I'm a racist. I found out I'm an insurrectionist. I found out I can't read good. Found out that I'm not diverse. And I found out I don't know how to go get an ID. What else I found? Oh, I found out I can't use the internet either. And I found out I'm a constant victim. And I also found out that I can't even stand in a voting line for about an hour or so without them bringing me some water and some snacks. I was all, why I just want some snacks? I stuff my blood sugar get low and stuff. I need to make one. Yeah, I found that all out. Thanks, Democrats. They told me all of this. I didn't know that about black people. And then the kipper. I found out that I ain't even black if I don't vote for Joe Biden, who just compared these voter laws to segregation in the South. Wow. Let's continue, Marco Rubio, because this one is one for, I got to give him this one. He sums it up beautifully.
Good news is that the overwhelming majority of Americans happen to live back here on planet Earth. And what they're worried about, to the extent they even paid attention to any of the stuff that's been said over the last 2 weeks, what they're really worried about is the fact that everything costs more. You go to the grocery store and the shelves are empty.
Real life problem?
They have a small business and they hire someone on Monday who just disappears on Thursday and never comes back. You've got every day thousands of people illegally entering the United States across an open border. And by the way, we have a surge of violent crime and lawlessness across the country. That's probably what they're worried about. In fact, I know it is on a daily basis.
Absolutely, Marco Rubio. See, so let me get this straight. When I turn on the TV, I see them all rushing to microphones, talking about filibusters, talking about racism, all of that. And here I am saying, so y'all don't realize the shelves are empty. You don't see those ships out there and stuff. You don't ever check the unemployment rate and the interest rate. None of that, right? You don't see what's going on down there at the border. Oh, I'm sorry, y'all do see what's going on at the border, right? Those border patrol men are whipping those Haitians for no reason, just whipping them. Okay, y'all don't see all these problems. So the real problems is J6, where no one was killed but one Trump supporter, and now voter rights. Now, why would they be so interested in changing voter rights? Why would they do that? I mean, heck, it's worked up until last year. Well, I won't say that. I'll just say this. The appearance of it working, less skeptical until last year. Last year changed everybody who got common sense's view. You know, I used to hear the myth growing up. Man, I don't even care why, but they're going to put whoever they want in office anyway. Man, it's all rigged. It's all rigged. I used to hear that. And I would go, maybe this, maybe this. But hey, I'm going in anyway, click it. But after seeing what we saw in 2020, man, I mean, I have no idea who really got in or who didn't at this point. I mean, I got to go back through my mind now. Like, all right, then wait, did Bush really win? Did you go? I don't know. So Marco Rubio's pointing that out. This is the Democrats' priorities versus who's ours.
But to the extent they paid attention to any of this, let me tell you something. First of all, I think almost everyone would tell you that what happened on January 6th here was a terrible thing. It should never have happened, and it should never happen again. But I don't.
And I will add to this, Marco Rubio. it not only was a terrible thing, but it was a terrible thing that the people who promoted this terrible thing was involved in. Yes, some folks got drug in. Some folks got too hyped. Some folks was like, darn right, let's do it. But you know those folks aren't the ones who plotted this mess, as we saw, big for nothing, Bigfoot, in people's ear. Oh, yeah, this is our time. Preach! Which we're going to be talking about him in a second. But let's continue, Marco Rubio. Here we go.
I don't care how many candlelight vigils and musical performances you have from the cast of Hamilton. You're not going to convince at least more most normal and sane people that our government last year was almost overthrown by a guy wearing a Viking hat and Speedos.
Thank you. Man, you already know, y'all. Those vigils, they're going to put on a performance for the next 50 years. They're going to have opera singers and stuff from that theater, you know, coming out like, it was a day of death. Then all of a sudden, nasty Pelosi saved our lives. They're going to be writing musicals forever. Uh-huh. They're going to be throwing all kind of stuff for that, and I don't want to hear it. I don't want to see no darn celebrations, no wreaths, no coverage of this mess, because if this ever gets unveiled, that these folks were involved in it, which, if you got some common sense, you already know. If you'd have watched the questioning from Ted Cruz yesterday to the FBI director, who should have been answering one way only, have the FBI, did anyone in the FBI participate in any violence that day? I can't answer that. Was any FBI agent on the scene? I can't answer that. Any FBI agent provoked this? I can't answer it. So that in itself lets us know that a dead fish is in that crew. But if it ever comes out, I wonder if the fake news who's been promoting this was the greatest attack on our democracy since Pearl Harbor, I wonder if they're going to spend that much time and dedication in highlighting the true insurrectionists. But if it ever comes out, undeniably, see, it got to be to the point where the fake news cannot weasel off the hook and still put a spin on it. If it ever comes out, who really was behind that whole thing, I wonder if they're going to be like, oops, we made a grave mistake. Now we're going to spend the next 5 years talking about how those Democrats and all of those people helped coordinate this crap. No, they're not going to do that. They're going to do what they did concerning the Russia issue. Trump's a Russian agent. He's a Russia. And as soon as it came out that Russia had nothing to do with this and Trump was found innocent, they just moved on. Like what? No. Look, man, we always knew it was fake and stuff. Yeah, you did. Problem is, you did. Let's continue.
Okay. And I don't care, you know, how many of these speeches the president gives in which he shouts out this hyperbole and all this melodrama. You're not going to convince people that having a state pass a law that says, for example, that you have to produce an identification is the same as segregation. Remember,
y'all didn't know that. Y'all did not know that. When you go in to get that license, man, yeah, that's segregation if they ask you to show proof of whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, I've had to get my license renewed. Unfortunately, there was a time where I lost my license. I couldn't go in there and just say, hey, look, man, why are you questioning me? What do you mean I need two forms of ID? You want me to bring in my birth certificate and my Social Security card? Do you understand who I am? Well, sir, that's the problem. We have no idea who you are. We need to know that. Well, see, all you need to know is I'm a black man. Uh-huh. As I ventured into the courtyard, followed by 52 brothers. That's right. A cell is hell. I'm a rebel, so I'll rebel. That's right. They can never understand because I'm a black man. And they're supposed to go, oh. All right. That clears things up. So what name would you like me to put on this ID? That's how things work now? I went to the White House. They didn't say, all right, white people, get over here. I need to see all your IDs. Oh, wait, you're black. You're good. Go ahead in. Yeah, I go, what's your name again? Rollo Johnson. Okay, Rollo, you're good. I trust you. Yeah, I always needed an ID. But all of a sudden, we come to this issue of voting, and all of that only applies towards voting, and nobody sees the motive. Nobody has the common sense to say, now, why are y'all so interested in IDs not being used in one area that is vulnerable for you guys. All the other things, yeah, we don't care about all that. We don't care about your job, need one. We don't care about you need one to get a license, rent a car, get alcohol. We don't care nothing about that, man. All right, open it up. Get a cell phone, which everybody has. We don't care about none of that. But suspiciously, we don't want that mess needed for voting. No thoughts? Man, we got some dumb Americans, man. We really do. Finish this off, Gold Rubio. Here we go.
Nonetheless, despite the fact that that's what most people in this country are worried about is inflation and all these other things, that's not what we're working on here. That's not what we'll spend this week on. That's not what the priority of this administration has been. That's not what the president is giving speeches about. They don't care. You may care about inflation back home. They care about the fact their crisis is that there's some laws in this country, for example, some states in this country that do not automatically force everyone to register to vote. They just automatically register. Well, that's the crisis.
Now, let me understand this, y'all. What could go wrong with that? By making folks get registered automatically, like registering for the draft. How are you, 18? Okay, we're going to go ahead and register you to vote. Would you be voting Democrat? Shaking their head like this. Huh? That's like when people would try to get, they would manipulate kids to say things that, I mean, did he actually hit you? And you're 3. Uh-huh. Yeah, he hit you, didn't he? And you're doing this the whole time. The kid's like, that's what I'm supposed to say? Okay, yeah, yeah, he hit me. So if I'm getting this straight, the average 18-year-old is more liberal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Folks that have not registered to vote are probably a lot of folks that's lazy, don't care about voting, don't even really get up and say, let me find out if somebody used my ID. Let me find out if somebody cast my ballot against my knowledge or my will. These are the folks that probably wouldn't care because they ain't even registered to vote. If you can't go to register to vote, then you're not even voting. If you are that lazy to get up and go register, then you don't care. You're that guy that I grew up with that's on the corner. Like, yeah, man, I ain't doing none of that mess, man. You know the man gonna do what they got to do anyway. Man, it's all fixed. I ain't voting for nobody. They all crooked. That's who you are. And they know that. And because they don't have enough Americans to vote for these raggedy policies, they got to fill in the blanks with illegal immigrants. They got to fill in and supplement it with all of these dead folks. They got to supplement it with all of these folks that don't register and ain't going to get up out their bed to vote. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't come into people's houses while they land there. Sir, we're going to make it as convenient for you as possible. We're going to send people door to door. Ding dong. I'm up in my bed, man. I can't even get out the bed, even though I'm a healthy man. But shoot, I ain't trying to come open the door. Don't worry. Don't worry. We'll scale the side of your house. Come in. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I see you are pretty tired. Here's your ballot. Can you go ahead and sign it? Nah. Well, I'll just grab your hand. Here you go. X. Okay. Now, enjoy the rest of your evening and go out and slide your stuff in there. That's what they want to do. They are fooling me. They're not fooling him. Everybody knows the game except their voters. It kills me, man. It kills me. It blows my mind. Mamma mia.
They don't care that store shelves are empty. In fact, they've denied that the store shelves are actually empty. For them, the real problem is that states have laws, for example, that don't allow these roving gang of activists to bully people into turning over their ballot. So they can show up at 6:59 p.m. on election day and just dump it on an elections official. And
did Mark just say that? Mark, you're supposed to be civilized. So what they're really concerned about is their rogue crew going into elderly homes. Hey, Ethel, how are you? Who are you? You don't need to ask those questions. Hey, I'm here to take your ballot in, okay? I'm assuming you're going to be voting for Democrat.
What's a Democrat?
I'll do all the rest for you. Thank you. Okay. See you next voter cycle, Ethel. Yeah, that's what they want to do. They want to set this crap up for all of that. Send your crew out there somehow. You look out there in the graveyard and see a whole bunch of people walking around writing down names. All right. This is Ted Franklin. Died in 1782. Who cares? That's what they want. Makes me so mad. And I'm not even mad at them. I already knew who they were. I'm mad at the folks that we voted for to make sure this crap don't stop. I mean, start rather. And to be able to stop this. And they let this crap happen.
By the way, they don't seem overly concerned that there are Americans that will be fired or not allowed into a restaurant unless they can produce their papers, their vaccine cards.
Yeah, man, because the only type of thing on ID you don't need is one to vote. But, hey, where do you think you're going up in here, man? I need to see them papers. Are you a vaxxed or not? You're one of those. A leper. Mm-hmm. Well, since you got that document, I need to know that you are who you say you are, because we can't let lepers up in here. See, there, you need that for that. Now, imagine if we pulled that. Sometime I want to do like a social experiment just to see how the Democrats would respond if we played by their rules. I really think that we should just put together our own crew. Oh, you don't want to have to register folks? Okay, tell you what we're going to do. We're going to put together about 50,000 conservatives, give them a little stipend to go around and collect everybody's ballots from the crib. Yep. And then not only are we going to do that, but we care about all of these precious illegal immigrants coming over the wall. They're only coming here for our better life. So therefore, let's greet them. We're going to set up a nice table right down there at the border. Hey, if you're illegal, come this way. Come on. Come on. We want you in our country. Now, listen, here's the pamphlet about the Republican Party. And I need you to go ahead and register to vote. Okay, Julio? There you go. Julio Sanchez. You'll be voting for us. And watch them come down there and drag every single one of those illegal immigrants right back over there. Kids and all. They won't be caring about no ass. Everything they do is power driven. They don't care about nobody but themselves. And Marco Rubio's about to call it all the way out.
Real problem is, how dare you ask them to produce a voter ID and a photo ID in order to vote? That's their real problem. So how can this be? I mean, how can there be such an enormous disconnect between what real people in the real world care about and are talking about on a daily basis? And what we're going to spend our time talking about here in these speeches that have been given over the last week, it isn't about the Capitol riot. Everyone agrees the Capitol riot was terrible and shouldn't have happened, I think. Most everyone does. But some of the same people that downplayed. Over 700 riots. Thousands of cases of looting that happened in America in the summer of 2020. It most certainly isn't about
y'all. Marco Rubio now is coming down that street of hypocrisy. If you haven't seen my video on the Hall of Fame of Hypocrisy, please check it out. I know they're already suppressing that. It's hilarious. I have captured what I felt is like maybe the top 15 to 20 biggest hypocrites that is in the Hall of Fame of Hypocrisy. And so if you haven't seen it, and even if you want to skip to like the last three are amazing. I mean, they hold records in hypocrisy. I mean, it's crazy. And of course, the one that you can never, ever, ever, ever compare anybody to Nancy Pelosi. Right now, she broke all the records. Yeah, she got one of those. She got that plaque right now in the Hall of Hypocrisy. Have to retire her jersey. So here's Marco Rubio calling it out. And he's straight up just saying, look, man, it ain't about none of that stuff. It ain't about getting work done. It ain't about all of this crap that they're telling you and it's protecting black folks. No, it's not.
Election laws that have been passed in the last year, they've been pushing these same bills with different titles and different names. They've been pushing all of this.
Yeah. See, so that hypocrisy been pushed for all of the last couple years that they realize people don't want to vote for them no more. And so if I get what he's saying, they're okay with riots. They're okay with looting. They're okay with burning in the name of fighting against racism. But yet, a one-time occurrence with some ragtag people coming into the Capitol warrants changing our whole way of life. And then also the fact that they are lying about black people and saying we don't know how to get IDs, and these white nationalists are trying to stop them from voting. And that's the justification to get rid of the filibuster and to get rid of voter ID laws. Huh. They can't get much more corrupt. I mean, just think about that, y'all. Think about the level of corruption that we're witnessing right now. And you only can see it blatantly if you have red-pilled, or you got some common sense, or you've, you know, become a conservative or been a conservative. You could only see it then, you know. But yet the average person cannot see just how corrupt these people are. They are horrifically corrupt. And I'm thinking, like, how much more corrupt can they get? I'm starting to try to be creative. Like, man, what else could they do to supersede what they've already done? Part of me don't want to know.
The better part of a decade. And it certainly isn't about voting rights. It is easier than it has ever been in the history of the United States to register to vote and to vote. And the proof is that in 2020,
what?
We had the highest turnout in over 100 and something years.
Well, Mark, that's news to me, because Joe Biden and them said that Stacey Abrams should have been the governor and Joe and all that. No, you got to understand this, guys. We had the highest turnout ever, but did we? Did we? See, because I don't know if dead people count. I don't know if all of the stuff that we witnessed, because I find it very difficult to believe that Joe Biden got 80 million votes. Now, we might have had the largest turnout for conservatives, but on that other end, I think some other folks turned out. Yep. Ooh, the ghost of Democrat past. We're here to vote. Yeah, interesting. But nonetheless, one thing they can't say is people are being suppressed. People are being discriminated against. Cannot show you one case of a black person or other minority showing up to vote. And they go, well, what are you doing, boy? We don't let your kind vote here. But go on, get now. Go somewhere else. You ain't voting here in this here election. No case of that. And they'll get on TV and say that with a straight face.
This isn't about any of that. If you're paying attention, let me tell you what this is about.
Uh-oh.
This
the big reveal.
Is about power.
Power?
This is about power.
Uh-huh.
This is about changing the rules of the Senate so they have the power to ram through an election law. And this is about ramming through an election law to ensure that they never lose power.
So Marco Rubio is tying that mess together, y'all. Did you hear that? So let me see. So they can't get their agenda passed because the filibuster is standing in their way, just like the Constitution. They want to get rid of all the stuff that's hindering their ability to acquire, obtain, and maintain power. So one thing leads to the other, but it's a misdirection. See, they can't tell you we want to get rid of the filibuster because we're trying to, you know, create a power grab and keep it. We can't tell y'all that. See, because nobody really legitimately probably is going in to vote for us except the people that drink and sip on their macchiatos with the finger up. Okay. So, and some misguided black folks, even the Latinos don't bounce. So we can't tell y'all that. So we're going to pretend we're trying to get rid of that mess for you. For you. Because of these racists that's trying to stop you from voting that you've never been stopped from voting for. Okay. And then once we do that, then that's going to give us the ability and power to just ram through all kind of stuff to show you what real tyranny looks like after that. And Marco Rubio is about to tyranny will look like.
To make it easier to win elections for them and therefore have power for perpetuity. You want to talk about defending democracy? Let's talk about the Americans, real people,
yeah,
who are afraid to donate to a political campaign, to put a bumper sticker on their car, to tell people who they voted for. They're afraid. They don't want to get canceled. They don't want to get boycotted. They don't want to get harassed. So they're afraid.
Huh.
They don't get smeared.
Huh.
Want to talk about totalitarianism?
Uh-uh.
About the fact that the Attorney General of the United States has said, let's go after some of these parents complaining at school boards and treat them as domestic terrorists.
Boy, this dude's dropping it right now. I got to give it to him. Right now, he's hot. He's hot. So let me understand this. If you ever want to know what real power grabs look like, real tyranny, real insurrection, all of that, he just start breaking it down. This is how they take advantage of ignorant people. The very thing that they are guilty of, they're telling you that Trump, all conservatives, all Republicans are guilty of. They convinced a bunch of people to think that Trump was doing everything that they're doing. Now, that right there is one of the greatest tricks ever, man. You suspect the greatest trick that ever the devil ever pulled was making folks believe he didn't exist. So if I'm getting this straight, it's not us that is destroying our democracy. It was Trump and those white nationalists, insurrectionists, as we acquire power with. See, and I'm thinking, y'all don't see that? Y'all don't see that they swarping down Trump is trying to squash free speech, and he was encouraging it. And then everywhere you turn, you get on CNN, you get on MSNBC, and you see Democrats on there talking about, we need more censorship, we need more. See, they don't see that the fact that they swarping down, they had the right to reject getting this. You know what? If Trump was responsible for coming up with this mess, and yet they get power and they're forcing you to do it. People don't see that. People don't see that all of our norms and stuff that they swarping down Trump was rolling back. These corrupt Democrats are doing that. How do you censor a dictator? If Trump was that powerful, how did he get kicked off of Twitter? I don't understand.
And listen, if you want to talk about segregation, then let's talk about a system of education,
Mark,
that is both separate and unequal. Divided between the people who can afford to spend $50,000 or $60,000 a year, yeah, to send their kids to a fancy school where they get SAT tutoring and they get all kinds of advantages, and the thousands, no, millions, really, of American parents that are Hispanic and African American and others who have no choice whatsoever as to where their kids go to school.
Now, wait, Marco Rubio. That's it, man. I ain't going to listen to this no more. Because, see, those Republicans who are totally against school choice, it's trying to bring back segregation and keep these black kids in these poor, ran-down neighborhoods and won't allow them to go to the schools they want to go to. Want to keep them ignorant and stuff, all those white nationalist Republicans, right? Right? Or could that be the Democrat Party? Now, isn't that crazy? The game is nice. I got to give it to them. You know your game is nice when you can roll up in black neighborhoods and tell them that all of these folks outside of us who run your cities are the ones keeping your kids in poverty, keeping your kids ignorant, responsible for these raggedy schools your kids go to, as the Democrat Party is totally against school choice. They're good. I'm just so thankful that my eyes see clearly. Boy, I can see clearly now.
They have no voice. They have to send their kids to the school the government tells them. These people don't care about any of this. It's about power. It's not just the power to change election laws. We see it. It's about the power to tell you what you're allowed to say. It's about the power to tell you where you're allowed to go. It's about the power to tell you what you're allowed to do. It's about the power to intimidate, to destroy, to smear, to call a racist, a bigot, a hater, anyone who dares get in your way, anyone who dares disagree with you. It's about the power to do that. But let me tell you something. I was raised by and have lived my entire life alongside people who lost their country, the country of their birth, power.
That's right. My man just ran a list down that every American should fear. When I saw Anderson Cooper get up there talking about a civil war the other day, up here bringing on some vets, I guess, and trying to use them for this narrative to silence Joe Rogan, people with podcasts, silence Fox, silence conservative voices, by trying to say that it is us who's promoting a civil war. We're the ones that's encouraging division and using rhetoric, loaded rhetoric, that could lead to a civil war. And as you step back, every Marco Rubio just listed, that is scary because we are the victims of that. We see the writing on the wall. We know that all of this crap they're doing will give them the power to come straight at our throats. And we're getting tremors of it right now with the fact that they went after those parents, the fact that they start broadening the definition of radicalism, y'all. Broadening that mess. Things like extreme patriotism. What is that? You can't love your country that much? Hey, you can only love the parts of the country that we like. You can't love all of it because that's extreme patriotism, which makes you pop up on the FBI watch list. I went the other day to buy me some weapons, y'all. Found me two nice guns. A Derringer that shoots a 38 round, and then a nickel plated, beautiful 38 revolver. And I went to work. Now that Joe Biden's in, for some reason, I was delayed. And I'm thinking, why am I, it's my YouTube channel. Probably, let's see if this guy's radical. Is he planning some type of stuff? He's a conservative. Let's go ahead and ice him. Stuff like that, man. Can you imagine what they would do with that type of power? So if they get rid of the filibuster, if they are able to change whatever laws, if they federalize things, do you realize that is the situation that all conservatives fear the most? And I know after these last 5 years, it's a scary thought. And they're just scratching the surface. Soon as they, quote unquote, got back in power, I knew we were in trouble. I was like, oh, man. These darn Republicans let this crap happen. Do you think these Democrats are going to forget about that and let bygones be bygones? You think they were going to sit back and take Trump destroying them, revealing their hypocrisy, revealing the fact that they're horrible politicians, embarrassing, crooked, all of that? Think they was going to let that happen without coming after him and us?
Hungry people just like that. I warn you, do not stand by and allow it to happen to this year.
And I pray God we don't. I pray God that he intervenes and disrupts this diabolical plan, y'all. Because if this happens, worst case scenario. So let's see what they're up to. Because remember, y'all, January 6th, it was horrible, y'all, and all of that. So since it ain't about January 6th, Marco Rubio, and it ain't about slavery and voter rights and stuff, let's see what they're up to with this January 6th thing.
Something really is going on with the whole January 6th narrative. Something is spooking the committee that's supposedly investigating in a nonpartisan, objective manner the events that took place on that fateful day. And as far as I'm concerned, there's really only one way of interpreting what's going on.
What is it?
The committee is starting to panic.
Wow.
The committee and everyone involved in promoting the January 6th narrative that President Trump orchestrated an insurrection coup attempt to disrupt the peaceful transference of power.
Okay.
They're beginning to realize that the heat is on regarding that narrative.
Time for a song break. The heat is on. Yeah. The heat is on. The heat is on. Okay. And I'm back. I'm sorry. I went to concerts. So I don't even know who sing that song, but you know. All right, now let's finish hearing about how the heat is on them.
More and more pundits and politicians are asking some very tough, poignant questions that they were never supposed to ask, and that they, the gatekeepers of this narrative, are starting to look utterly ridiculous in their pathetic excuse.
Also, they're trying to hold the line, and they're starting to look stupid. The gatekeepers can't hold it. Kind of like those police officers on that day that had those bike racks set up, supposed to be a fence, I guess. And then when that big Bigfoot was in the crowd and mentioned that, all of a sudden he started attacking that bike rack. And all of those police officers that were standing there and fully G'd up in shields and riot gear, and that one Trump supporter, that white nationalist, came up to him and told him, why are y'all letting them do this? They're destroying our Capitol. Call for backup, and they had their hands in their pocket looking around. You mean those guys? See, all those horrible police officers that just couldn't hold the line. They couldn't hold it. It was too much. Same thing with the liberal media. Same thing with all the people trying to hold this narrative together. Now, maybe they could have slipped it in if they wouldn't drive it home so much and bring so much attention to it. They're bringing this on themselves by highlighting it, by blowing it up, making it look grandiose, bigger than it was, more grandiose than it is. When they do that, people start saying, now, is it really that bad? Let me look into it. Let me check some things. Oh, what? So you're telling me all these people got thrown in a slammer and they all are dang on insurrectionists. They all are white nationalists / domestic terrorists, but nobody's charged for that? Wait a minute. Since y'all keep bringing this up, yeah, whatever happened to John Solomon, the black dude walking around on video saying, you see this Trump head? I bought this. Yeah, we did it. We did it. Where's he at? Is he in jail with the guy with the horns? Because I haven't heard nothing about that dude. You're telling me that you can't go track down Bigfoot? You can't go find the dude that was cutting through all of that fence? See, when you start trying to use this stuff for political gain, it puts a spotlight on it. You start saying, well, let me look into this. So now it's hard for them to hold this narrative together. But listen to what they did as an attempt. to explain that big Sasquatch on video telling everybody to go in there.
For answers, you may have heard that this committee, made up of Democrats and two virulently anti-Trump rhinos, recently tweeted out the following, quote, "The Select Committee is aware of unsupported claims that Ray Epps was an FBI informant based on the fact that he was on the FBI wanted list and then was removed from that list without being charged."
Right. Now, wait a minute. Did y'all just hear this? Are you hearing this response, y'all? So they're going to address this because, see, they can't just keep ignoring it because the Republicans are now starting to use this. And it's only so long you can keep telling people that, well, we're supposed to be the committee that's looking at this and tracking down all of our leads and stuff. But, yeah, not that one. That one's too big for us. That one's too blatant. That one right there is too obvious for us to track down. So we're going to let that go. So now, here's their attempt to explain Bigfoot, okay? Now, I'm going to show you how dumb these Democrats either are or they assume we are, or at least their voters are. So let's go out and do collateral damage because we didn't know Bigfoot was going to be caught on video saying all this. One of these pesky conservatives in that crowd had the nerve to be doing this and caught the Bigfoot. Now we got to come out. And here's their excuse.
The committee has interviewed Epps. Epps informed us that he was not employed by, working with, or acting at the direction of any law enforcement agency on January 5th or 6th, or at any other time, and that he has never been an informant for the FBI or any other law enforcement agency.
Case closed, Johnson. Did y'all hear that? So no wonder they didn't want Jim Jordan on there. They didn't want all those people on there. So if I'm hearing what their explanation is, first of all, they did an internal investigation. This obvious partisan group of Congress people that should be writing laws and passing bills, but instead they're Scooby-Dooing the gang. So they themselves found the Bigfoot, interviewed the Bigfoot, and then exonerated the Bigfoot. And now the media is using their self-investigation to say it's been debunked. The committee looked into it, that same committee that has been trying to get Trump out forever. The same committee that has crooked pencil neck shift on it, who got caught doctoring and falsifying all kind of stuff. That committee, that's the same group that looked into, what's that dude, Keith Ellison, up there in Minnesota, who them accusations came out from his Democrat girlfriend, who got beat up by him because she wouldn't take the trash out. Here she goes to the hospital, okay, tells them he beat me up, took pictures, got all the medical records. We'll look into it. We've looked into it and concluded. Nothing to see here. That same, these Democrats who are investigating themselves, but here's even the worst part of that whole thing. They just admitted that they found the Bigfoot. So then if you got close enough to the Bigfoot to interview him, you didn't capture him. I mean, I'm telling you right now, if I'm walking through the forest and I see a real Bigfoot, Now, if I'm walking through the forest and I see a real Bigfoot, by that foot, okay? If I'm like, okay, this right here would make me a hero. If I can drag that big old Sasquatch kicking and screaming to my man Jeep, he's coming home with me like Harry and the Hendersons. So you had a chance to get that close to this dude, the white nationalist insurrectionist, didn't call the feds, didn't bring in the FBI. We located him. We're going to go in and interview him right afterwards. We want you to break in and snatch him up. They just basically admitted that they had the number one suspect in their view on the phone or whatever and simply took his word for it. They didn't call him a white nationalist. They didn't call him a systemically racist Trump supporter. They didn't say this dude needs to be brought to justice. They didn't say we located this white supremacist and he should be locked up for the rest of his life. They didn't say none of that. Instead, they just get up there and write this crap, say, we talked to the dude. He said he wasn't ever down with that. Man, that's crazy, man. Y'all always coming up with stuff. See what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Do you see the corruption? Let's continue, y'all. Let's move over to another topic with our last half an hour or so. But before I do that, let me double check, make sure nobody tried to slip in, you know, calling in or nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? We don't want to ignore the guests, though. But you know what? Oh, well, okay, so we're good. Let's continue. Now, guys, here's one of the other weapons that the Democrats have been using for their control purposes, for their whole mission to destroy our economy, put us on lockdowns, get us conditioned into obedience, kind of prep us for being like cattle and being tagged and knowing where you're at and stuff and all that, which we already know what I'm talking about, right? And then something popped up, which was pretty funny. And this is local, guys. Mercy Health. Okay, that's around us. Adjust COVID return to work guidelines. So wait, you're telling me everything is driven by the love of money? You're telling me all of a sudden this deadly outbreak is killing folks. Now all of a sudden, hey, look, man, we're short on staff. We're going to let you come back early. Well, I'm not finished quarantine. Hey, do you feel okay? You feel okay, right? Then come on back in. No, we don't need to check. Just come on in. Come on in. Because we're losing money and we don't have enough people. So all of a sudden, all of this stuff that they're swooping down was a necessity. They now stand, hey, look, we need every available person. Sorry about trying to force you to do stuff and sending you home for weeks because you get in here. And then next week after we get rid of this big overflow of people, they will send you back home on vacation and demand that you do stuff. So here's our CDC director on Brett Baer trying to explain stuff, which is coming across a blown politician and not a CDC director. So let's hear her explanation of where we're at with this, you know, whole thing. Here we go.
Speaking of statistics, it seems to make a big difference if a person in the hospital is in the hospital for COVID-19 or with COVID-19. It's been almost a year since you've been running the agency. Do we have that split on numbers?
You know, what I will say is it differs by each variant. So some variants, first of all, we're doing screening of many, in many hospitals of everybody who's walking in the door. What we're seeing with the Omicron variant is that it tends to be milder person by person, but given how large the numbers are that we're seeing more and more cases come into the hospital. In some hospitals that we've talked to, up to 40% of the patients who are coming in with COVID are coming in not because they're sick with COVID, but because they're coming in with something else and have had the COVID or the Omicron variant detected.
Right, that's a lot of jargon. That's a lot of juggling. She started off thinking I'm juggling tennis balls, and then all of a sudden it turned to chainsaws. Went from tennis balls to chainsaws. So here she She starts thinking real carefully. You got to concentrate a little more when you got chainsaws, you know what I'm saying? The tennis ball, you can be talking. And so, yeah. Anyway, dude, no, not with those chainsaws. You sitting there like, shut up, man. I got to focus. So she is trying to juggle this, but at that we have seen that stuff with this, and then some come in with that, you know what, we're still looking into. Let's see how this goes.
But I guess, do you know how many of the 836,000 deaths in the U.S. linked to COVID are from COVID, or how many are with COVID but they had other comorbidities? Do you have that breakdown?
I want to hit them with the Hulk Hogan. You want to know something? That's right. I want to hear this one. So all of these 800,000 plus deaths, how many of those died from COVID versus... So let me understand. He was ran over by a semi, and that's just the last piece that you brought into the hospital. Only a finger's left. Well, let me see that finger. COVID. It's a COVID finger. That's what that is. Put it down. Let's see what she says.
Yes, of course. With Omicron, we're following that very carefully. Our death registry, of course, takes a few weeks to collect. And of course, Omicron has just. But those data will be forthcoming.
Will it? Because see, I've seen her get on TV many times. And when they start asking her questions that locks her into some exact numbers and stuff, Oh, well, you know what? I'd like to start off by saying that we're still looking at, we haven't acquired all that information. It's getting funneled in. But really, I'm trying to go ahead and use the filibuster during this interview until I get out of your face. And then buy myself some more time to falsify some garbage. So it's always, we're still compiling the data. When she went before Congress and they asked her a very simple question. How many of your employees have been, you know what, it?
We don't know that exact data.
What? You're the CDC. And you only got so many employees. You're the director of the whole company. And you're telling me the people who are promoting these things don't know how many of the folks in their own organization have received it? That's the first thing that makes me go, hmm. Secondly, when they asked her, how many of your employees are working from home or versus in the office?
I don't know that answer. I'm still figuring that out. I think that maybe.
What? You're the director. You don't know who is at the crib and versus the, I mean, heck, anybody can be in the office. I mean, if you don't know where your employees are at, maybe the maintenance man just went down there into the chemistry room and, you know, decided to start cooking up some stuff. You don't know where people are in your company.
So the hospitals are still stretched thin because of this, so I'm not trying to take away from that. But if 40% in some hospitals, 40% of the people who have COVID don't necessarily have problematic COVID. They're there because they got in a car accident. They're there because, you know, they bumped their head. And they're being included as in the hospital with COVID. That number seems kind of misleading.
Jake Crapper asking that? Now, wait, something must be coming down the pipeline. Because, see, you got to understand, I don't trust CNN at all. When they pretend to be real news, I still think they're fake news. Either they know something's coming up is going to be too hard to control, and they're going, it's going to come out anyway, y'all, so let's get on top of this one and pretend that we were on top of it the whole time. So now Jake is trying to distinguish the difference between folks that went in from a heart attack versus COVID. Now, isn't that ironic? Because remember CNN would have that big old COVID number down at the bottom 24/7? Every time you turned it on, you could see the number in real time going up. But 1 million, 1 million, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then by the time the commercial comes back, it's 8 million. You're like, wait a minute. It was a two-minute commercial. You were at 1 million. Now you're at 8 million. How'd that happen? We fixed it to continue scaring you folks. So then what does Jake Crapper know? Because why is he pretending like, yeah, these are questions that are common sense people. The CDC director. What is he doing? This is fake news. You know what? He's putting people's lives in danger.
Yeah, I agree, Jake. It surprises me that they have not been able to parse out that data more carefully. I think the data that Dr. Olensky is quoting is from New York State, and we've been following that data as well. Mm-hmm. And I can show you what we've seen, sort of tracks with what she said. But out of all the patients that are in the hospital, about 57%, these are COVID patients, admitted because of or complications from COVID, 43% admitted for other reasons and then diagnosed with COVID.
Oh, snap. So like the dude that was in the line with me at the man's store back in the summer when they had us standing outside for some reason and told me that his father-in-law had a massive heart attack and was, you know, rushed to the hospital, died before he even got to the hospital. And when they came to get the death certificate, on the death certificate, died from COVID-19. And went to the doctor and said, my father didn't have COVID. Oh, all right. Well, okay. Okay. Now let's, hey, come here, man. Not that he had it, but somebody came in his room to check on him, to examine a body who had been exposed to it at some point. And instead of them being home and isolated, they still was working, I guess. You know what I'm saying? And while they was in that room, even though he was dead, he could have been exposed to that COVID, and that COVID could have killed him twice. See, so we just happened to put on a death certificate. You know what I'm saying? We don't want to worry about semantics and all, but we just put down COVID. No, he died of a heart attack. Why are you putting that on there? Oh, we get bonuses and kickbacks and incentives. Okay, That's what really happened. Okay, let's see what's going on here.
I think, you know, there needs to be transparency about that in terms of for or with COVID.
Yeah.
The only thing I will tell you, Jake, again, working in the hospital, is that at the time someone is then diagnosed with COVID, even if they didn't come in for that reason, it does take up a lot of resources then in terms of infection protocols, personal protective equipment, more testing, all that kind of stuff. So even though that may not have been the initial impetus to bring them into the hospital, it just requires a lot of energy and resources on behalf of the hospital staff and the testing and all that sort of stuff. So we need to get better about being able to see this data. Okay. New York State, I think, is one of the few states that's presenting it that way for or with COVID, but other states should follow suit. The American Heart Association.
So wait, I don't understand, Gupta. Why are we just now wanting to get serious about seeing that data? Now I'm saying everybody, you know what, we need to get to the right. We need to be more transparent. Before, don't you ask no questions. You understand that? Trust Funky Fauci. Trust the CDC director / politician. Don't be asking no tough questions. We don't need to know all that. They're the professionals. But guess what else is happening? Let's check this out.
Headlines that we're talking about this morning, this new study, and just how...
This is the CDC director again in the hotspot, blindsided by real questions.
Headlines that we're talking about this morning, this new study showing just how well vaccines are working to prevent severe illness. Given that, is it time to start rethinking how we're living with this virus that is potentially here to stay?
You know, really important study, if I may just summarize it, a study of 1.2 million people who were vaccinated between December and October and demonstrated that severe disease occurred in about 0.015% of the people who are received their primary series, and death in 0.003% of those people. The overwhelming number of deaths, over 75%, occurred in people who had at least four comorbidities. So really, these are people who were unwell to begin with.
So wait, Mrs. Politician, why are we shoving this on kids again? Why are we demanding that young, healthy people get this mess? Why are we demanding that the military, some of them already had it? So why are y'all demanding that stuff? If what you just said was true, then the people that are really kicking the bucket, if you really look at the chart, let me understand, they had sugar. They were going through withdrawals from alcohol, high cholesterol. A little bit of pyorrhea, some diarrhea. They got gout. They got rickets and botulism. Yeah, that might all went into the pot to that person not making it out. But based on that, let's go get the kids and make them get it. Let's go find all of those healthy athletes that are about 19 or 20 and make them get it. Interesting.
And yes, really encouraging news in the context of Omicron. This means not only just to get your primary series, but to get your booster series. And yes, we're really encouraged by these results.
Wait a minute. So now she's talking about get the boosie. Now I'm wondering, with that boosie, I ain't going to get it, y'all. I love boosie. Boosie, everybody, what? Boosie, come on, louder. Boosie. All right now, baby. A smile of joy. A tear of laughter as in happy. Y'all know something about Boosie? Yeah, man. Parliament. P-Funk, baby. Oh, now, I got distracted by my own brain. So now this lady, and I got to be careful how I talk about the precious CDC director, but she just got done summing that mess up by saying, go get the Bootsy. And, study came out talking about that people with their natural you-know-what is really got more protection concerning this Megatron that's coming, okay, than the folks that already got Bootsy and stuff. So it sounds like in every application, your natural stuff is better than the Bootsy, better than the initial Mott's, better than all of that. But for some reason, they still push that. Now, I'm not telling folks not to go get stuff. However, I'm a little concerned now that we're finding out all this new stuff. Somebody said, we need some Bob. I've been, hey, Bob, he's been circling lately. I think I saw him the other day on my lawn walking. I was like, Bob, come here for a minute, man. He's like, nope, I'm not coming to you. You know why? Because you're black. That's why. But I'm going to catch you. He's like a leprechaun. Every once in a while I see him pop up and I'll be like, if I can catch him, I'll give you all a dose of Bob. All right, so here we go.
In the context of Omicron, this means not only just...
We just heard about the U.S. Supreme Court currently deciding the fate of the president's vaccine mandates. In the questioning, Justice Sonia Sotomayor made this statement.
We have over 100,000 children we've ever had before in serious conditions, and many on ventilators.
She's a Supreme Court justice. Throwing that intel out there like that. I'd like to see her banned. YouTube, if you're listening, I want her in timeout. Suspend her. I want Twitter to shut down her account. I want face to the book. So this chick, who's supposed to be one of the smartest people, that's why we, you know, trust you to be a judge, threw out some numbers that were so far off. This wasn't one of those like, oh, man, I was only, what, how many? Like 150 off, something like that. Hundreds and thousands off. Here we go.
Now, we can find from Friday suggests there are fewer than 3,500 current pediatric hospitalizations from COVID-19. Is that true?
Yeah.
Watch it. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Here's the propaganda. Here's the politician in her. She's not even going to answer the question.
But, you know, here's what I can tell you about our pediatric hospitalizations now. First of all, the vast majority of children who are in the hospital are unvaccinated.
Bringing in that negativity, baby. That's what I'm talking about. So instead of me addressing the complete misinformation given by a Supreme Court justice, yeah, I could talk about that, Brett. But instead, I want to talk about things that will scare everybody and still allow me to push for all these kids to get the you-know-what. That's what I need to do. So, yes, she was stupid, ignorant, spread it, just disinformation. But still, I'm not going to address that because, see, we're on the same squad. We all want to, you know. So let's hear her go ahead and tiptoe around that because Brett going to bring it back to her again.
And for those children who are not eligible for vaccination, we do know that they are most likely to get sick with COVID if their family members aren't vaccinated. So
there you go. So now what she's doing is she's consolidating. She's like, look, man, first of all, those that ain't got the you-know-what is more susceptible to get sick, not just, you know, putting their lives in danger. But if their parents don't do it, then the parents could be killing their own kids. See? So you see how it's circular? So now we can say, hey, you don't want to be a parent to kill your kids, do you? You don't want to see your kid die from this mess, which probably will never, ever happen. But still, so we can keep that narrative going.
The most important thing we can do for those children to keep them out of the hospital is to vaccinate them and to vaccinate their family members around them.
Wow, I didn't see that one even coming. Feel like major pain. I guess I just had that one coming. So here she is, instead of addressing that inflated number, that completely incorrect number from that SCOTUS, she comes back with still pushing the narrative that yeah, whatever she said, don't worry about that, no matter how bad that was. The real thing I want you to take away from this is they still need to do this. Parents and the kids, all of y'all, all of them. Now, Brett, bring her back to that question.
The number is not 100,000. It's roughly 3,500 in hospitals now.
It's slightly off. Slightly off. 100,000, 3,500. Let me see. Maybe it's a little bigger off. But math is racist. Okay, you think it? So here we go.
Yes, there are, and in fact, what I will say is...
Oh, that hurt. You hear her swallow that frog when she had to answer that. All right, let's hear the frog.
Children, to keep them out of the hospital is to vaccinate them and to vaccinate their family members around them.
Understood, but the number is not 100,000. It's roughly 3,500 in hospitals now.
Yes, there are...
No, I hear the frog. Almost razzle, y'all can see it, man. She's like, yeah, that would hurt. That would hurt to come out.
And in fact, what I will say is, while pediatric hospitalizations are rising, they're still about 15-fold less than hospitalizations of our older age demographic.
You see, now, see, notice how she just shifted back. She ain't saying the positive side of this. Yes, Brett. See, that person right there with throwing those numbers out could scare a lot of people and make them think that this is a lot more dangerous than it really is. That right there is being reckless, and you shouldn't throw stuff out like that because, honestly, even the ones that are lies are still, you know, coming out, you know, pretty good and all that stuff. And you know what? And it doesn't really, you know, hurt the kids as much as – no. No, she don't want y'all to take that away. You might get a little content without forcing your kid to do stuff or you do it yourself. So instead, no matter what you say that might be good news about this, I'm going to find a negative spin until our goal and objective is accomplished.
But I'm talking from your data, ages 15 to 24, for example, the risk of death is at 0.001%.
But math is racist.
I guess what I'm getting at in this opening is that the Supreme Court is in the process of dealing with this big issue about mandates. And do you feel a responsibility as a CDC director to correct a very big mischaracterization by one of the Supreme Court justices?
And how, says the little rascals. So that's a big discrepancy. If it is that low of a percentage, I'm pretty sure almost every other disease kills kids at a greater rate than that. I'm talking rare stuff we probably have no idea. Like, what? That's a real thing? I didn't know that. You mean to tell me there's a more than that number of kids that's dying from being allergic to sunlight? That's crazy. I had no idea. So it sounds like the risk is at the bottom of the barrel. Now, in all fairness, I haven't done any research to compare like that number to kids who maybe die from the or any other disease. But I would think it would probably be overkill to suggest that all the kids have to do this when it is that low of a percentage. So let's see if she says, you're right, Brett. That's very smart. And yeah, we're going to pull back on that. But here we go.
Yeah, here's what I'll tell you. I'll tell you that right now, if you're unvaccinated, you're 17 times more likely to be in the hospital and 20 times more likely to die than if...
What that got to do with anything? He asked you about the kids, man. I mean, I thought we was having a conversation about the kids. I'm sitting up here like, yeah, we talking about the kids, man.
Hold me like the river Jordan.
I thought we was talking about the kids.
And I was in safety.
But here she comes. I got, you know what? I would talk about that, but I don't want to. So what I am going to talk about is people that ain't got the, you know what, got that like 17 billion, gazillion, trillion more chances of kicking the bucket. And you got to do it and go out and get it right now.
You're boosted. And so what my responsibility is to provide guidance and recommendations to protect the American people.
No, that's not true. No. What? I'll just say this. In my opinion, that's not your responsibility. I think you have another responsibility, or should I say goal and objective. And it ain't just saying we're trying to make sure people are protected and covering us. Because if that's the case, you probably would have broadened your 90-second show. You probably would have broadened your view of other options that we could have been using since day one. Whatever happened to that herd immunity that they talked about? Oh, that one went out the window? See, because I'm thinking, shouldn't that apply? If your goal is just to save lives, by any means necessary, therapeutics, herd immunity, natural immunity, all of that stuff. But no, you're driving it. There's one thing. Let me turn this lady off real quick. I'm going to cut her short. Let me get her. All right, where's she at? Okay. Goodbye.